Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
Tonight, this evening, this Vespers service begins the Feast of Epiphany and the season that follows it. I commend you for getting out in the moderate Atlanta cold tonight. It's about the coldest it's been in a while. And for attending, I know it's been a long and busy season, Advent in the Christmas season, all 12 days of it, but you didn't let the exhaustion from all of that keep you from coming to this important feast day, and it is important. I know that for, 4 weeks prior to Christmas, we moved through the season of Advent and tried to practice active hoping and expectation, both for the celebration of Jesus' birth and also for the Savior's future appearing. And we finally reached Christmas and tried to continue celebrating throughout the 12 days, the entirety of that season. And though we may feel exhausted physically, mentally, and liturgically, Epiphany must not be skipped over as a superfluity at the end of this long journey. Here at the transition from Christmas to Epiphany, on this 12th night slash eve of a new feast day, long after most people have left Christmas far behind, consider this. Think about how the fact that an actual historical birth of a Jewish baby in Bethlehem, an out-of-the-way little town, something that actually happened in time, if you had a Bill and Ted time machine, you could go back and see it. It was there. This birth, this happened 2 millennia ago, is today the cause of a great religious and cultural celebration even in our day and age in this country. Is that not astounding that we celebrate that still? That people who don't even hardly know anything about Christ or his church or anything still celebrate Christmas because a baby was born 2,000 years ago. How did that happen? What happened was the news spread. The word got out that this baby who became this child, who became this man, was monumentally exceptional. And fundamentally, Epiphany is about the word getting out. We often take the word getting out for granted. This after-the-fact perspective that we have on history sometimes makes it hard for us to inhabit the depth and the width of the story of the gospel. We tend to telescope the timeline, making sure that we hit the big events and cover all the major doctrines. And the Gospels are kind of like this. They go from big event to big event to big event. And the Creed, of course, is like event, doctrine, and it's very compressed. And we tend to dwell in those things, but we don't think about and imagine the length of 33 years of life of this man who was that exceptional. And we don't allow ourselves to get into the pithy reality in our imaginations. So the event of the incarnation, of the nativity, was important and primary, but its significance would never have reached us were it not for the epiphania. It's a Greek word meaning the bringing to light of something, a realization. The epiphany to us. So Epiphany actually distinguishes the fact of the incarnation from the revealing of that fact to mankind. The origin of the feast is shrouded in some ambiguity. The historical sources are splotchy at best. It seems that from very early in the life of the church, and for various possible reasons, on or near January 6th, different corners of the church were celebrating different events in Jesus' life that revealed his glory. His baptism was one of these events, a very important one, and that is what in the Eastern tradition, the other 99% of the Orthodox Church, they celebrate on January 6th to this day. They celebrate the baptism of Christ, and it's called Theophany, typically, in the Eastern tradition instead of Epiphany. And for us, we will actually be celebrating that on the second Sunday after Epiphany. So not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after. That's when we mark and celebrate the baptism of Christ in our lectionary cycle. So, but his baptism obviously is an event that reveals his glory. With the Trinitarian theophany, you know, with the Father's voice and the Spirit in the form of a dove. His miracle at Cana, his very first miracle, turning water into wine, this was obviously a manifestation of his divine power. We celebrate that the third Sunday after Epiphany in our lectionary. And then the angel's revelation to the shepherds at the Nativity, which of course we mark on Christmas Day, and the visit of the Magi. Now, all of these events were manifestations of the glory and or divinity of Christ. But over time, and especially in the West, the visit of the Magi became the primary event linked with Epiphany on January 6th. I think there's a reason for this. The angelic announcement to the shepherds at the Nativity, Jesus' baptism, and the initiatory miracle of turning water into wine were all events that spoke directly into the context into which Jesus was born. Of course, we now in the church recognize that these events are significant for everyone in the whole world, but at the time, you see, Jesus had this specific national and religious identity, and all those events connected him to an implicitly Jewish context. So think about this. His baptism was a Jewish baptism. It was a call to Jews to prepare for their Messiah. His first miracle was at a neighbor's wedding, you know, a Jewish custom. It was a Jewish celebration among Jewish people. So there was this specificity, it seemed like, and even an exclusivity to Jesus' ministry in Israel. Jesus even made this clear, for example, in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, there's the story of a Canaanite woman who is not Jewish, not a part of the Jewish family and community, and she had a daughter who was afflicted by a demon, and she came begging Jesus and his disciples, please come, I know you're a healer, please come and heal. And she was annoying the disciples so much, and they kind of just wanted Jesus to do his thing, heal her, take care of the issue so she would go away. And Jesus said, I'm called to serve the house of Israel. That's what I'm called to do, not you guys. And she kept begging, and he said, it's not proper for the dogs to eat the food that's supposed to be for the children. And she said, but don't the dogs even eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table? And because of her faith and her perseverance, he granted, and his love, obviously. Every time Jesus does that, toys with someone just a little bit, I feel like it was for the sake of a lesson to his disciples and thus to us because of their recording of the event. So it's because of his love for the woman and her daughter. Obviously, Jesus granted her request and healed her daughter. But anyway, you see how Jesus had sort of this directive to minister first to the house of Israel. The events in the gospel bear witness to the revelations of Jesus' glory to Israel. The account of the Magi, however, in St. Matthew's gospel that we heard just now, is of an entirely different nature, however. The Magi, of course, weren't Jewish. So the significance of three men from so far away recognizing Jesus as a king so early in his life can't be overstated. From what we know, chronologically, the shepherds were the first to recognize Jesus as someone special, as a king, because of the angels telling them. Then Simeon in the temple at Jesus' dedication. And then this extravagantly trimmed caravan of Gentile astrologers that had been traveling for months, years possibly, from the far, far east. The long-awaited king of Israel was revealed first to paupers and heathen. But what about the exclusivity to the Jews? You know, early in Acts, the question was raised by many in the Jerusalem church, is Christ also for the Gentiles? Well, the answer, of course, was yes. And throughout the gospel, though it had to land first in Israel, it was always meant for the whole world. Even in Jesus' own ministry, there was a sense in which, as the Anglican theologian N.T. Wright put it, Jesus was smudging the borders a little bit, going around to the Gerasenes in Samaria, places very much on the outskirts of the land of Israel. And then in his Great Commission to his disciples, which was our Vesperal Gospel passage, he made the charge explicit to go into all the world. But before all of that, the proof that Christ's light would break through national boundaries and light up the whole world, not just the land of Israel, but the whole world, was when these uninitiated, unworthy magi worshipped a baby as a king. I'm going to read a passage from a sermon by Pope St. Leo the Great, Bishop of Rome, from 461. The loving providence of God determined that in the last days he would aid the world, set on its course to destruction. He decreed that all nations should be saved in Christ. A promise had been made to the holy patriarch Abraham in regard to these nations. He was to have a countless progeny, born not from his body, but from the seed of faith. His descendants are therefore compared with the array of the stars. The father of all nations was to hope not in an earthly progeny, but in a progeny that is descendants from above. Let the full number of the nations now take their place in the family of the patriarchs. Let the children of the promise now receive the blessing in the seed of Abraham. In the persons of the Magi, let all people adore the Creator of the universe. Let God be known not only in Judea only, but in the whole world, so that his name may be great in all Israel. Dear friends, now that we have received instruction in this revelation of God's grace, let us celebrate with spiritual joy the day of our first harvesting, of the first calling of the Gentiles. Let us give thanks to the merciful God who has made us worthy, in the words of the apostle, to share the position of the saints in light, who has rescued us from the power of darkness and promised us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. As Isaiah prophesied, the people of the Gentiles who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who dwelt in the region of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. He spoke to them of the Lord. The Gentiles who do not know you will invoke you. The peoples who knew you not will take refuge in you. This is the day that Abraham saw and rejoiced to see, when he knew that the children born of his faith would be blessed in his seed, that is, in Christ. Believing that he would be the father of the nations, he looked into the future, giving glory to God in full awareness that God is able to do what he promised. This is the day that David prophesied in the Psalms when he said, "All the nations that you have brought into being will come and fall down in adoration in your presence, Lord, and glorify your name." Again, "The Lord has made known his salvation. In the sight of the nations he has revealed his justice." This came to be fulfilled, as we know, from the time when the star beckoned the three wise men out of their distant country and led them to recognize and adore the King of heaven and earth. The obedience of the star calls us to imitate its humble service, to be servants, as best we can, of the grace that invites us all to find Christ. Dear friends, you must have the same zeal to be of help to one another. Then in the kingdom of God, to which faith and good works are the way, you will shine as children of light through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with God the Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Just like the season of Advent beckoned us to an agonizing anticipation, and Christmas to a marathon celebration of the Nativity, Epiphany calls us to work out the ramifications of Christ being made known in all the world, and specifically to you and me. The sign that drew the Magi to the Christ child was a gift from God, a grace, just like God's call to us is a gift of grace. We have no right to be called by God. It's all God's initiative, but it's our job to respond. God went to the trouble of arranging for a star in the heavens for the occasion, and the Magi weren't too distracted to notice it or too lazy to follow it. How attentive and willing are we? Because the Magi knew that they had sought out a king, they were aware that he was deserving of valuable gifts. Is our search for Christ for our benefit or for his? Do we desire to bring anything to Christ when we come into his presence? Or is it always me, me, me? And just like Advent and Christmas, Epiphany is also a season stretching forward all the way to Lent. So take advantage of this time to meditate on all of these things and more, and praise God for making himself known to us. The Lord has shown forth his glory. Come, let us adore him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.